It's art you can put in your pocket. Paño art is an art form that emerged from prison cells in the U.S. decades ago. Whether they were bartered for other goods or sent to loved ones, these drawings on small sheets of cloth express the lives and hopes of prisoners. Now, a collection of Paño art is on display at the Tacoma Park Community Center in Maryland. Dennis Sobin is organizing one of the organizers of this art show and supplying the art for this show. He joins us on the line from Washington, D.C. Hello, Dennis.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm glad to speak to you. It wasn't always possible during the many years I spent in prison to have such contact and to be able to speak out, and I really admire, you know, what you're doing at the station there.
Thank you. Now, can you describe, for those who haven't ever seen Paño art, can you describe to us what it looks like?
Well, for someone who's been in prison, I can very much appreciate it, because in prison, you're very limited on what you have available as far as art supplies for artists, and that goes for performing artists as well. You really have to improvise as much as possible. In the case of paño art, paño meaning handkerchief in Spanish, you substitute cloth, specifically a handkerchief you buy at the prison commissary, or if there are none available, you just take a portion of the bed sheet, a corner of it, and use that as the equivalent of a canvas. And so you now have your own miniature canvas to work with, and it's very portable. In some prisons that have regulations, no art, or very limited on what you can do with the art you create, you can easily hide such a thing. You fold it up, and you can put it under your mattress or in your mattress. So it's a very portable thing. If you want to send it home, you can do that. We're talking about a handkerchief that's beautifully decorated, depending on the level of the artist involved. But it's very much of a prison tradition, and it's now practiced all over, at least all over the United States in prisons.
Where did this art form come from?
The tradition is that it started in Southwest United States with Hispanic, Latino artists. It just originated there. I don't think anyone knows quite sure why, but that's where it started. And the Library of Congress, and actually the Smithsonian Institution, has quite a collection of Paño art, although we, and I say we, at our prison art gallery here in Washington, D.C., where the art is being supplied to the Tacoma Park Community Center, and some of the fine people there, including David Fogel, who actually visited our gallery and got the idea for the show. He said, oh, let's focus on the paño. It's so unique. And I said, sure. So we have examples from the Southwest, traditional Hispanic themes, for example, Spanish women, Spanish men in very colorful costumes. But we also have examples in the exhibit of how to spread into other sections of the country and utilize other themes, motorcycles, pastoral scenes, and of course prison scenes itself, since art is used in prison as a way of conveying conditions and the very harsh conditions that sometimes exist there. So we have all of those examples at the exhibit, and we even have an example of a performing artist in prison, since I'll be actually playing at the reception, which will be on Friday, on the 12th, June 12th, when the exhibit opens at the Tacoma Park Community Center.
Now, I mentioned that the paño art is bartered. How much is it valued inside the prison?
Well, inside prisons, art goes for very, very little, actually, partly because there's very little money and very little to acquire, ability to acquire in prison. The average prisoner, for example, gets something like a dollar a week, actually, in earnings. It's $1 a week in the federal prison system. In the states, it's sometimes even less than that, sometimes more. I was in the state of Florida, for example, for a number of years, the state system there, and there was absolutely no pay. So, you know, if you didn't have any money coming in from the outside, and so many prisoners did not because of the exorbitant rate of phone calls and other things that really strapped families on the outside, the difficulty of visiting in prisons in remote locations, they would create art, develop a talent, and, you know, barter for things that they need, maybe soap items or other kinds of things that one would need in prison, even to have a little bit of money to spend at the prison commissary, that sort of thing. But how much in prison? $4, $5 for a really nice work of art that might take someone a week to do. But a week in prison wages could be a dollar or two. So $4 or $5 looks very good in comparison to that.
Now, is there a market for Ponyo art outside of prison?
Well, we certainly have placed a number of pieces outside, and instead of the $5, we'll get $50 or even more, depending on the value. And the art, by the way, at the Tacoma Park Community Center, which we're proud to say is part of the city system of Tacoma Park, it's Tacoma Park being a city, and we're very pleased that we're getting government support, because what we are, we're providing something to show the humanity of men and women in prison through the Ponyo art, and we're actually getting government to pay the bill to show this. And this has been true in Washington, D.C., where the D.C. Commission on the Arts and Humanities have actually come up with some money so that we can show, display the art. So, you know, this is, and we are offering it at fairly reasonable prices. When I say fairly reasonable, $50, $75, $100, but beautifully framed for that, which you don't get in prison. And of course, you're not in prison where money is much more limited. And half of the proceeds do go back to the prisoners, their families, or in the case of victims of crimes that were affected by those prisoners, to a prison restitution fund that we've set up. But so many people in prison have no victims. There's so much, you know, victimless crime, such as all of the ridiculous drug laws that incarcerate so many people in the United States, that for the most part, the prisoners and their families get the proceeds from any sales. But we've been doing this now for some 5 years, and we're just very pleased with the support we get. And so many ex-prisoners, you know, have participated and helped so enormously with their talent, with their resources. And I'd be remiss not to just mention a couple that that just have been wonderful. Lloyd Rubin, for example, Kevin Horrocks, Jahi Foster Bay. And all of these people are heavily into art and heavily into prison reform, having been prisoners themselves. So they've come forward. They've helped with the exhibit. And it's you know, we're really looking forward to a very good showing of people and a very good turnout at the Ponyo exhibit and show at the Tacoma Park Community Center.
How often do the prisoners who get into creating art through Ponyo art end up becoming full-time artists?
Well, we get letters every day from prisoners on the inside telling about their plans, their ambitions, their ideas, and of course they send the work itself. Ponyo is easy to send in an envelope along with a letter, and the letter is wrapped around it so it protects the art as well as conveys the message of the prisoner. Art and Ponyo art created in prison will open up a lot of doors for prisoners when they get out. Will it lead to a full-time career? Will it lead to a full-time way of supporting oneself? Probably not. Very few artists make it on the outside entirely with their art, but it will open up doors for them. They can get involved in religious organizations. They can get involved in business and professions and always have the art has a talent that they could provide to the organization that they're affiliated with. So when I say it will open up some doors, it will get the attention of people outside. And, of course, it's a wonderful way of expressing oneself and occupying one's time in a very productive and creative way. I say this because while I practiced in prison my music for hours and hours each day and wrote a lot of music, I still do it now on the outside. In addition to being the director of the Prison Art Gallery in Washington, I do performing work as an artist, including a program that we're having at the Kennedy Center in a few months. And it certainly has led to grant opportunities for our organization. I remember in the case of one of our supporters, I've mentioned before, Lloyd Rubin, who's very active in Jewish causes and organizations. I asked him what kind of music he would like me to record a CD of. And, of course, he answered Jewish music, and he even picked out some of the selections. So I used that, and he made a very generous contribution to the organization shortly afterwards. So when I say art has that effect in providing opportunities, you know, one should be very open to all kinds of opportunities out there, not just creating a piece of art and saying, well, I'm going to sell this and I'm going to make more and sell more and more. Sometimes you have to actually get your exposure and even give things away before you become recognized and before you become well known.
What do you hope that the people who come and visit this show in Tacoma learn about the prisoners behind the art?
Well, we want them to see, and David Fogel and I, in organizing the show, have discussed this. We want them to see the enormous talent that is being locked away in prison. We want them to see that art thrives in any setting, and sometimes in the most difficult settings, people can become as creative as is humanly possible, because the range of art that you'll see there and the skill level and the ideas that are expressed are truly, truly extraordinary. So we think people will see that and will understand that those people who are in prison for great number of years in many cases, for often doing very, very little, but being caught up in some kind of deal, drug deal or something, or personal use of that, or something often very trivial, and it's impossible to identify any victims. But we want those who see the art to understand that these people who are locked away like that have not given up hope. They are still thinking, breathing, creative human beings. They have their beauty that they are expressing in this beautiful Ponyo art. They still have their dreams, which, again, are conveyed in the art when you see a lot of the themes of that. And often, for example, families, the family reunion, families getting together. They haven't lost sight of that. They haven't lost sight of their dreams, of their human goals and aspirations. And so we want people to understand that these are human beings and they should not be just thrown away. They should not be tossed on the trash heap of society. We have to not just ignore them, particularly when they get out, not give them a help hand, not welcome them home, but we also have to provide whatever opportunities we can in prison to create a humane setting there, because, again, the art shows we're dealing with thinking, creating, loving human beings.
That sounds fantastic. Thank you so much, Dennis, for joining us tonight.
And thank you for having us, and we look forward to seeing many of your listeners at the exhibit or joining us online, where a lot of the art is shown at Prisons, PRISONS, that's Plural Foundation, .org, and we're part of the Safe Streets Arts Foundation. And we look forward to further interaction with your people. Our email address and physical address, 3 blocks from the White House, by the way, is where the gallery is located, is all on the website.
Thank you. Dennis Sobin is the director of the Prison Art Gallery in Washington, D.C. He's one of the organizers of a free art show featuring Paño art created in prisons across the U.S. It's on display at the Tacoma Park Community Center in Maryland from June 12th to July 25th.